Christian and enjoying the special time of the year. This is a very special time. Christmas time, for most of us, older people, sure, as children, we really anticipated Christmas, time of giving and receiving. And so often we didn't have much to give, and we'd receive anything we got and be very thankful for it. So I thought tonight, in view of something that came across my pathway, that we look at the subject of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, it's a very familiar passage, not the one that I would like to focus completely on. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's a passage that warms the heart. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And that ought to be very comforting to all of them. He's preparing a place for us in the presence of God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a wonderful promise. And I fully believe that one that has given us that promise will fulfill that promise. We know he's gone away. Well, we know beyond that. We know that he's been here. We know that he's been here. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, no, chapter 1 is where we'd like to look. Acts chapter 1, I wanted to look at a few verses that remind us that the disciples, it seems to me that very often we often think of ourselves as kind of being out of touch with the promises and the things that God is going to do for us. But I think certainly you could say that in many instances things were happening so fast, and so much had happened that stirred the heart and caused the mind to try to take in what was being said, that perhaps they didn't understand everything that was going on. That still happens to us. But the disciples had followed the Lord Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem, and as they stood there, he said, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The reason I read that is that I was made aware of something that a Christian man and his wife, I don't know anything about them, but this is a story that was told me concerning this man, his wife, and some of the folks that were in a fellowship of believers. They really believed in the rapture. the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ in the air. We can read that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. There would be a shout, an assembling shout, calling home. The dead in Christ would rise first, and all of those that remained, including those, hopefully, of us. I'm saying that because it could happen tonight. You know, our bulletin emphasizes that we believe in the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's imminent. The word imminent means anytime.
Anytime.
Now, sometimes I think we're guilty of saying, but it couldn't happen, right? Not tonight. Not in these circumstances. I don't think the world has hardly ever been in any worse shape than it is today. There's so many disturbing things happening. Sometimes you get the paper and you're ready to open it up and you say, I don't want to look at it anymore. There's no good news in there, is it? It's all bad news. Seems like everything in there is something that's distressing. I'm going to stop taking the paper. I've heard someone say that. I'm going to stop taking that paper. It bothers me. The things that I read in there. And I get to reading those things and I get distressed. And you don't want to do that. Start out today by reading your Bible, the Word of God. But the story of this man and his wife went like this. He was fully aware As a believer, that the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus was very real. And he wanted to do something that would represent service for the Lord, a good witness for the Lord, get the good news out. So he started going with his wife. This is how it started. They would go out to a place where there were people. I think the earliest thing they did, they went to an airport. They had been on some trips, and they knew that a lot of people gathered around the entranceway to the airport and so forth. And so they stood there in this place, and they did something. They started looking up. Looking up. See, they had planned this beforehand. She knew what he was doing. And they were looking up, staring out into the heavens. The whole reason for this was that they would attract attention to themselves. And someone would ask them, what are you doing? Why are you looking up into the heavens? And they would respond because they had some good Christian literature with them, a tract. And they would give them a tract that gave them a message. And in turn, they would say, we're looking up into the heavens for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, it became pretty effective. A lot of people stopped and asked them, why are you standing out here looking up into the heavens? Other people wanted to join them, and they did. They went into public places, places where they wouldn't be run away because they were doing something religious or trying to talk about the Lord, but it became very effective. You know, that's such a simple thing. Have you ever looked up and thought, you know, outside, if you ever gonna look up, he may come at any moment. While I'm looking up, Lord Jesus, I would like for you to come right now. If you would come right now, I'm ready and I'm looking up, I'll hear the shout, and I'll be right in tune with what you're doing. I've been in cemeteries where
we would read the passage there in 1 Thessalonians and
do that at funerals quite frequently. And
it says the dead in Christ will rise first. I think about all those graves yielding up those that have died, that were in Christ. Scripture says we shall not all sleep, so some of us haven't died yet, and we'd be standing there, but we shall all be changed. And it says we will be changed, changed in a moment, to be like him forever. So it is a wonderful thought. And it's a precious promise. And I think the reason that I wanted to focus on that this evening is it seems like there's not enough said about it. I rarely ever hear people say anything about the rapture, the coming of the Lord. It'd be a wonderful thing. Sometimes you might find someone that's in deep distress, going through a real hard time, you might say, I sure wish the Lord would come. Indicating that they want to be taken out and relieved of going through this experience. I don't know if that's acceptable motivation for him coming or not, but at any rate, somebody wants him to come. I'm asking you, do you think, and I just ask you to think about this, do you think about his coming very much? A strong belief that many of God's people, because of what appears to be a delay in his coming, but believe me, beloved, there is no delay. In that passage we're reading there in Acts, just before that, there is a statement made concerning that it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now, God knows, and that's good enough. Right? That's enough. He knows exactly when the Lord Jesus will make his appearance and the shout will be given and we'll be caught away to be with him. Some people have tried to, and I ran across this, and sometimes there are things you forget. There are people in Don's past that they took it very seriously, I think, that the Lord was coming. And what I'm thinking about is that eagerness in our hearts and souls, is it there all the time? And thinking about, as I get up this morning, he's coming today. The Lord Jesus is coming today.
You know, someone that doesn't know anything about the Bible and doesn't know anything about Christians and what they believe would say, what in the world is that crazy man talking about? He could be coming today. They have no sense or understanding of how important this should be to us. As believers, he came as a little babe in a manger. God became a man.
Believers that witnessed the very brutal death that he died, the death on the cross, and the resurrection, and went out and stood and saw him ascending back into heaven. They looked up into heaven and they longed, but they were puzzled by what had happened. And I said at the outset, I'm not so sure that they fully understood all the things that were going to happen and what would lead up to this. The same thing is true to us. I'm told that there was a man by the name of William Miller. This happened back in the 1800s. He was the founder of the Adventist group or movement. He predicted that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming again. And he set a date. He set a date. That was in 1843.
You've heard the story, and it's happened, I think, many times over since then, but
the people that were kind of in tune with what he wanted to do,
they sold all of their belongings, put on white robes,
went out to some place outside the city and stood there waiting for the Lord to come. He didn't come.
I didn't have to tell you that, did you? He didn't come.
Don't you know that was a letdown? If there was true sincerity in their heart, that was a tremendous letdown. And I feel like, in a sense,
it did harm in some way
to other people that were not believers to even embracing the person of Christ as Lord and Savior.
These people are so foolish. Look at those crazy people.
He predicted that Jesus Christ was coming again.
He didn't come. He didn't stop there, but I read that there was another man,
Charles Russell. He was the founder of this Jehovah's Witness movement. And in April of 1878, he repeated that thing. He did it again. He's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Did the same thing. People sold all their possessions. Went out beside the city, stood looking up into the heavens. He didn't come. He didn't come. I don't want us to be foolish in our thinking about this, but listen, there's nothing foolish about thinking about the coming of the Lord. It is real. I think that's what concerns me. The reality of it has not gripped our souls. You say, you mean we're going to be surprised when he comes? Yes. Yes. Totally surprised. Well, what do you know? He really did come. Yes, beloved, he is coming. He said he was coming. And he is coming.
I don't know if you go back to, that was the year of
1988. Someone wrote a book about 88 reasons why Christ is coming. And they set a date, 1988. And didn't come, did he? No. Well, they changed the date. Make it 1989, then, or some other day. I've forgotten what his reasoning was, but he still didn't come. Does that damage your faith any at all that he's coming?
Because people do foolish things? I hope it doesn't.
I hope your faith is in what God has said in his word. And that you truly believe he's coming again. Because, beloved, believe me, he is coming again.
And if you want to follow the example of this man, his wife, and others that have been caught out in public places, looking up into the heavens, what are you looking for? The angels ask those believers, why do you men stand here looking up into heaven? They knew full well what they were looking.
They were looking at the
departure of the Son of God back to the right hand of the throne of God. The place that he had certainly earned
because of the sacrifice that had been made for the sins of the whole world. I hope we do have that experience in our lives every day.
Sometime. You may not be outside, you may not look up into the heavens,
but I believe that it has an impact on your life as a believer. I do. I really believe. To anticipate the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, it does something to you. It does something to you. It's a very private thing. You're not trying to impress anybody else. It does something for you. To think about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, he may come today. This day hasn't ended yet, and he may well come today. I thought about
if people lose that sense of how important it is for him to come again, he promised that he would come, and he does fulfill his promise. It's so important that we honor him by believing what he has told us. And I live in that expectancy that he's coming. I believe truly in my soul that that has a sanctifying effect upon you. Don't you think so? How you live? You better believe it. I was going down the road the other day, and I looked, and I was doing 70 miles an hour. I didn't mean to. And I thought, man, suppose if a policeman stopped me, and I was stopped and given a ticket for doing 70 miles an hour. But it makes you consciously aware that you don't want to do anything that would be out of order with what we're supposed to be as believers. The Apostle Peter, he wrote some things concerning the second advent, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ at the close of the tribulation period. And he says that every one of us as believers, if we want our faith to be real, we should live holy, godly lives in anticipation of his coming. That's what it's all about. I think that truth itself, as it gets into our minds and we realize how important it is in our living, to be ready. If you told me you were coming by my house to pick me up, to take me to a picnic or something, play some golf, and you were going to be there at a certain time, and you came there, and I said, well, I haven't even made the first move to get ready yet. You say, well, you must not think very much about what we're going to do, and so forth. What do you think the Lord thinks about us? To be caught up in the spirit of the world, be not transformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by that wonderful thought that for me to live a godly, sanctified life for the glory of God, it's my way of being a good witness to that reality that Jesus Christ is very real. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And what he accomplished upon the cross means everything to me. He saved my soul. And one day, he said he was coming back to receive me unto himself. If I leave here by death and I'm buried, well, I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That happens the very moment we take our last breath. But this rapture, this catching away of the church, the body of Christ, very real. It's very real. And I believe it. I believe it. And it does have an impact upon my life. And as we think about these things today and all the things that are done, a lot of people are looking in a lot of different directions. People are concerned. Remember, the Apostle Paul said the last days would be what? Perilous times. Distressing times. You read your newspaper, and it don't pick you up. It lets you down. And it causes you to have thoughts that are not good thoughts. And it doesn't edify and build you up and make you happy in your soul. Causes a sense of sadness, realizing that things are not getting better in the world. There's so many things. Oh, we're getting better and better all the time. Man is evolving into that creature that he's supposed to be, and he's getting better and better all the time. Oh, no, beloved. Oh, no. Men's hearts are becoming more deceitful. The things that are being done in the world today are a true indicator of what a world without Christ and without that directing power of God by His Spirit upon each of our lives is
going to be chaos. It's going to be chaos. A world in rebellion. A world in rebellion against the authority of God. Not willing to accept blessed holy promises. The imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It's on December the 25th, he came back. Came back while they were going through the motions of celebrating something else, and we were thinking about his birth and singing hymns and rejoicing on his first coming. He came again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's think about that, and let's accept what he has said as being very real. There's reality in the spoken word of God. So how's that? What he said he will do. And what he said, it will come to pass. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we gathered together for prayer. And having our hearts spoken to from your word, speak to us, we pray thee, in such a way that each one of us is consciously aware that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls, who may come even tonight and accept us into his presence. We ask all of this in his holy name. Amen.